Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour dedicated to the discovery of illumination. Provocative though we may become, it is all in an earnest, open-minded attempt at becoming enlightened. This is an hour focused on the meaning of our values in existence and how we derive the assumptions we live by. It is an hour where we admit that our foregone conclusions could all be wrong, and in that way, truly open ourselves up to the possibility of a new kind of understanding that in some way, somehow, may indeed lead to that elusive state known as enlightenment. So I want to remind everybody that we tend to look at some things sometimes and forget that we can do something about it. I'm thinking of the oil slick down in the Gulf. Hard research shows that where people all concentrate, where you can call it prayer if you'd like, you can call it intention if you'd like, where that prayer or intention is directed at something, it seems to have the ability to impact the physical world, whether it's lower crime or decrease the wind velocity of hurricanes. I invite you all to think about that Gulf area, that oil spill, and think about it being dissipated, held back, whatever is appropriate so that we get the highest, best outcome there. All right, now every week I read a couple of your letters as a way of paying homage to the importance you play in helping us to shape our show and make it even better in every way. Last week, my guest was George Nuri of Coast to Coast AM. George shared with us his take on many things, including the New York street hero who lost his life saving a young woman. Acting as a good Samaritan, this homeless man was brutally stabbed by an assailant and then laid in the street while more than 20 people passed, allowing him to bleed to death. Linda wrote, "When I heard about the homeless man who helped that woman and was then stabbed and later died because no one would help him, it hurt my heart." It hurt many of us, Linda. Diana wrote, "Hi, Eldon. It's very sad to hear of people acting in this manner. I think all we can do is touch one person at a time and try to enlighten them. I love all that you do." Well, thank you, Diana, and you're right. The world changes one person at a time, and each one of us, we have a role in that. Every person that we contact, whether it's the driver in front of us in 5 o'clock traffic, or the person that we meet on the street, the individual that's in our workspace, our child at home. As we touch them, so they touch the rest of the world. Now, Elizabeth from North Carolina wrote, "I just wanted to drop you two big thumbs up on two recent shows. One, George was great. It was fun listening to the two of you weighing in on the various topics with such obvious appreciation of one another's work. And did I actually hear someone on Hay House Radio make the argument for gun ownership? Hallelujah. It's not a matter of whether I'm pro or con, but that you broke the mold. Well done. Secondly, and I certainly don't mean to get into the obvious inner Hay House politics, but thank you for holding that obnoxious power versus force author's feet to the fire. I tuned in to that show and could not believe what I was hearing. Not only could the guy not clearly articulate, let alone defend his point, but he was simply incredibly rude to your callers. Your show is clearly named, and we are so fortunate to have you on the air. Keep up the great work." Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate your feedback. I don't know about any Hay House politics either. We just try to call it as we see it. I'm glad you enjoy the show. Okay, that's almost it for our letters today, but I do invite you to opine by leaving comments on my website or by joining me on Facebook. I do read all of your letters, including those that don't make it to our show, and they do impact our programming. Thank you. I have one more letter to share with you, but to keep it in context, let's jump to today's subject. Last week, George and I also discussed politics. Indeed, we agreed that being spiritually aware insists on a political involvement. There are matters in the world that will just dry out for need if we turn our back on them. You have heard me publicly endorse charities such as Women for Women, who provide aid to women in war-torn countries, and Women for Afghan Women, who provide much-needed safe houses and shelters for savage and discarded women. And I do mean discarded, like the carcass of a dead animal left on the roadside. From my perspective, it's not credible to claim spiritual enlightenment and turn your back on the hero bleeding in the street or the woman suffering in faraway lands or a government run amok. Now, that is my bias, and I want you to be aware that that's my bias straight up. But I'm still open to hearing another side of that. You have heard me also say in the past, and I'll repeat it now, America, in my opinion, is the great freedom experiment. What will we choose? Do we choose to take care of, be taken care of, be those that care for ourselves, the independent, the self-reliant? Or do we choose bigger government? Do we give away freedoms in the name of patriotism? Or do we insist on retaining our constitutional rights? Do we surrender all that has made this country the great nation that it is in order to become a second-rate caretaker nation? Are we currently vilifying those who have worked hard and invested in the American dream, built some wealth, and provided much-needed jobs? What does spread the wealth mean after all? What's it mean to you? Now, 3 weeks ago, our guest was Harv Eker, and we discussed his book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Now, the letter I'm about to share with you and my answer bears directly on today's program, so here it goes. Jeff wrote, "I love most of your shows and what you do, but the show with Harv Eker made me physically sick because what it showed me was how far the New Age world is moving toward conservatism in this country. To say that to be broke means you aren't successful is insane and insulting. I work with a great deal of social workers who fight very hard in a world where children are sex workers or HIV positive are starving to death on Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. I have friends who go out at night and work with 12-year-olds who have sex for money. These people spend most of their day fighting for the betterment of these kids, and they might make $29,500 a year, and usually do not get health insurance. And I do not think they are entitled just because they believe they should have access to health insurance. And I do not think they are less successful than that man you had on your show just because they did not go start their own business and make $1 million. We make choices in life. Some of us start programs and write books like Harv. Some of us choose harder paths and go out into the trenches where we are not respected, where federal funding cuts all funds to these kids who are literally dying on the streets, and then the implication that they should just give that up and go be millionaires or they will not be considered successful makes me want to puke. Seriously, Eldon, how can that be true? This idea that money is the marker of prosperity or success, I have watched this kind of mentality build and build within New Ageism." Jeff continues, I have been very lucky in life. I was born into a very rich family, and I was always taught that money means one thing and one thing only. I am more responsible to the world and the people I share the world with because I have money." All right. Now, thanks for the letter, Jeff. First of all, no one said that to be broke meant you were bad or a failure or anything like that. I appreciate the work of all who dedicate their efforts to aiding our fellow human being. Indeed, I have praised the likes of Mother Teresa and often spoke in defense of the defenseless. That said, I must have had a different lens on than you when I listened to Eker. His plan is to give 10% of everything to charity, to those children on the street. It is his take and mine that money is not inherently evil, and indeed it can be a great power for good. And if you want to make more money, just help more people. It sounds like you might believe that as well, but you were born to money, and there is no guilt in that. We were addressing making money. Not everyone wishes to emulate some of your friends any more than everyone wishes to emulate Harv Eker. Our show is willing to look at both sides of the coin, but I do admit to being rather conservative. I want charity for those who need charity, but not for those who choose to work the system and go on the proverbial dole. I believe in working our inmate population for their welfare, as well as society's, and I believe that if one is able to work, if they are unemployed, accepting unemployment, we should use them as a resource to assist those who cannot. unemployed construction workers, for example, want to work. So give them a job building or renovating housing for the poor and for our seniors and so forth, and pay them with their unemployment for those services. We'd all be better off if this were the case. I don't have the time now, but there are studies that actually show that the more you give someone, the more they expect and the less they appreciate it. The giving does not make a better person out of the recipient. Instead of a Marxist attitude, unto those according to their need and from those according to their ability, translating to money alone, let's make it apply to sweat as well. If you're able to work, then work. Okay, now that's my opinion anyway, and I welcome your thoughts, so feel free to scold me anytime. I grew up in a very blue-collar home where my mother worked in Welfare Square for our canned goods. My father carried a gun all of his life, either during World War II or later as a government employee. I began paying room and board and covering my school costs at the age of 12, money I earned from working in the sugar beet fields and paper route. So I do believe we can set our destinies to serve our fellow mankind in our own way, many different ways, and rise out of poverty in the process. And by the way, government employees all get health insurance, so that's kind of, that's not even a valid argument. All right. I know what I think of all this, but we want your input as well. You can join us. All right. I think I've set the stage now. We'll burn up some phone lines today. Our guest is Mr. Hoska Harrison, and he has been with us before. He is a favorite of mine, a great guest, a truly knowledgeable person, an internationally sought-after speaker, author of the book Tide of Change, and a channel for Jonah, as well as a world traveler and the founder of the Jonah Life Institute. Those of you that follow our show should remember when Hoska emailed us from Greece, addressing the rioting and financial crisis there. We touched on the idea of the subliminal force in the world during his last visit, and I promised we'd get him back. Indeed, according to Hoska, a major global subliminal campaign started in autumn of 2009 and will substantially increase during the winter of 2010. Further, it is time for all of us to become much more proactive as opposed to passive about matters in our world. Hoska is here today to explain all of this and more, and to provide his insight into the role of politics and spirituality. Welcome back to Provocative Enlightenment, Hoska Harrison.
Hello, Eldon. Great to talk to you again.
Oh, it's indeed my pleasure, sir. I'm looking forward to today. Now, you heard the setup piece.
I did.
So what's your take on the role of making money in our world?
You know, one of Jonah's fundamental teachings, intent is the building block of the outcome. You know, I've in my 30 years of working with people as a medium, I've met millionaires, I've met billionaires. And you have wealthy people who use their money to take advantage of other people. But I've also met many wealthy people who use that money to greatly assist people in need around the world, helping the starving children in Africa, helping the child prostitutes, as you mentioned, in Santa Monica or New York or San Francisco, wherever they may be. You know, money is not bad. It's what you do with it. You know, money does carry a level of responsibility. And if you have that much money, you have a certain power, for a certain energy. Money is energy. And you need to be responsible for that energy and what you do with it and how you assist other people. Not taking care of other people, but assisting other people that otherwise would not have a system.
Okay, now, I've got to take it, you know, to where money goes. It obviously, I mean, if we're taking care of our own money and we're using our money, as you suggest, to assist people, what do you think of the present global financial situation, and more particularly how it's being addressed?
You know, I spent almost a month in Europe recently, and particularly in Greece. And I find it amazing what is occurring there. And it's a very subliminal campaign, if you call it, a very subliminal energy that's going on. You have Northern Europe almost reacting to Southern Europe in ways that people aren't really fully seeing or recognizing. You know, the people in Germany, including politicians, are referring to Greeks as pigs. Now, to explain that statement, this pigs is spelled P-I-I-G-S, and it stands for Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain. And all of these countries are in on the verge of collapse, economic collapse. Now, Germany has stepped forward and said, okay, we're going to bail you out, but nothing's free. You know, they want something in return. Now, after Greece, I went to Egypt for a while, and I was reading the papers there in Egypt, and they were saying, you know, the Chancellor of Germany is saying, Greece will do what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. You know, it's very interesting to see what is going on in the European Union, but it's not just the European Union, it's worldwide. These countries are slowly, in my opinion, being taken over, and I know that right now there's a lot of Greek people listening to this interview in Greece, and I think they're understanding more after Jonah's message that he gave to them of what's really occurring, not just in Greece, but in the entire world economy. Things are changing, but they're changing to bigger government, more control, more manipulation. And I feel
I'm just going to ask then, what do you think the end game is? I mean, what's the true agenda? Because it sounds like we're talking about a conspiracy, maybe even a global conspiracy.
You know, look at the housing collapse in the United States. All of these people losing their homes. Where do the homes go to? Who's going to collect those homes and resell them? And how many billions of dollars are going to be made off of people losing their home, losing their life savings? You know, you can take that consciousness of corporate America, and you can apply it to corporate Europe, corporate China, you know, whatever country you would place it on. But in Greece, there's also been talk of Greece selling their islands. Now, it's also known in Greece that the northern Greek islands has oil that has not been tapped. So it makes you wonder, okay, what's really going on here? It was Germany that actually mentioned perhaps Greek needs to start selling their islands. Well, it'd be interesting to see to who they would sell the islands to and who would go after the oil. So there's always these secret hidden agendas that are going on.
Okay, now you know, you're a business person from years past, and so I call partly on that acumen, but you are also the channel for an ascended being, for a being from another dimension, Jonah. And Jonah is here, correct me if I get this wrong, basically to awaken our consciousness, to bring peace and love to our world. And so your comments are somewhat, I mean, I guess I hear your comments, and it sounds to me like this is the businessman. Is this also consistent with the teachings that Jonah is delivering right now?
The teachings of Jonah is you need to be proactive and not passive. You can't pretend to be blind as to what's occurring around you and then claim that you are a victim of what has occurred. Enlightenment, the only way to create an enlightened world is through education, not through force. Education, people need to be educated to be proactive and to understand why they need to be proactive. Each one needs to be totally responsible for their life. But their life is part of the lives of others, part of a community, part of a culture, part of a country. So Jonah's fundamental teaching is to take responsibility for your life. And when you do that is when you have the power to create that spiritual awareness to create the joy, to create the healing that you've been desiring to achieve.
You know, and of course, I totally concur with that. My own experience, my own lessons in life, my own education clearly indicate that self-responsibility is at the bottom of everything. You know, indeed, my work in the prison system, to the precise extent that you abdicate that responsibility, you blame, as a case in point, someone else for something in your life. To that extent, you tie yourself up. You're unable to do anything about the circumstance or situation. But if you truly take full self-responsibility for everything in your life, and now I'm stretching this according to my definition, so you can come back and say, well, no, you haven't got that right. But to me, for everything in your life, including those things that supposedly you don't have any control over, maybe the attitudes of people in your post office. If you take responsibility in the sense of how can I improve this? What is it that I can add to this that changes this dynamic, this situation, that elevates this consciousness? You not only find that the world around you changes overnight, but you are truly empowered. Is that more or less what you're saying?
Exactly. The more responsibility you take for your life. Now, I also understand a lot of people don't want to hear that, because a lot of people get into this mentality of being a victim. And to a degree, depending on how you perceive the word victim, perhaps they are in terms of what occurred in their childhood or how they were raised. But people that choose not to take responsibility for their life means somebody else will. If you don't take charge of your life, someone else or something else will. And you may not like that something or someone else that now is in charge of your life.
You, when you set up this entire scenario, two things came to my mind, Hoska. We either have a global conspiracy or we have a global competition right now for the resources of this world. I would opt for the latter. And that global competition for the resources of the world is really another way of redistributing the wealth. Distribution of wealth, redistribution of the wealth, share the wealth. That seems to be, you know, I mean, that seems to be pretty common. I mean, I heard, you know, the other day the president said, well, you know, how much is too much? I mean, and I guess, you know, I think of that, and I think, well, if your name's Al Gore and you just bought a $9 million home, or if you're Barack Obama and you just earned $5 million, that's not enough. What is your take on this idea of redistribution of wealth? And we're about 30 seconds before we have a forced break, so tease me into it, and then we'll come back to it after the break.
It reminds me of a prophecy Jonah gave back in 1985 when Ronald Reagan was still president, and we were at odds with Russia. And Jonah said that Russia and the United States would become as allies, and the greatest threat to the world peace would become China. And that is now occurring. But yeah, he also said there will not be a World War III nuclear war. There will be wars occurring. There will be nuclear devices sent off, but there will not be a World War nuclear World III.
All right, on that we will hold bated breath till we come back from the break to discuss China and no nuclear war. You're listening to Provocative Enlightenment. Our guest today is Hoska Harrison. We're discussing the role of politics and spirituality. Is it necessary to be politically involved and politically aware to be spiritual? You can follow the links on Provocative Enlightenment, EldonTaylor.com, to Hoska's websites, etc. We'll be right back after these words from our friends.
Have you talked to yourself lately? What does that inner voice say? Are you constantly hearing negative feedback? Ready for a change? Inner Talk, Eldon Taylor's patented subliminal technology, can do just that. Change your inner self-talk. Turn off the negative by replacing it with positive affirmations. Inner Talk has been researched at universities such as Stanford and by governments around the world, and has been proven effective at priming your self-talk. Armed with a new positive outlook, you'll find everything becomes easier, from losing weight to stop smoking. giving presentations, to riding horses. Learn new things to being a powerful salesperson. Choose your title for change today. Visit www.innertalk.com. That's INNERTALK.com. InnerTalk.com.
Every day, every moment, we face choices. Yet, how many of those choices are truly our own? Are you ready to step onto the path of discovery? Read Eldon Taylor's New York Times bestseller, Choices and Illusions, now revised, updated, and expanded. Eldon combines provocative information, scientific research, and his own life's journey into a powerful message that we have the power to change. All we must do is be willing to choose to take the chance and change. Get your copy today from all bookstores.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. And do call us. Do join in. You know, your ideas, your opinions, they enrich the show. I love your letters. I always get your letters afterwards. But, you know, get on the phone. Call us in. Join us. My guest today, Hoska Harrison. You got a couple of seminars coming up, too. One in Colorado, one in Switzerland, don't you, Hoska?
I do, in Denver, Colorado, on May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, Transcending the Shadow of Human Experience. And information on that seminar is on my website, JonahLifeInstitute.com. And then in July, in Zurich, Switzerland, on July 24th and 25th, Walking Out of the Shadow of Pain, Jonah will teach 7 keys to releasing pain. They're two different subject matters. the Switzerland is spoken in my newsletters, not on my website. But the Denver intensive is on my website for further information.
Well, and your website's rich, so they can get the newsletter by looking for the newsletter on your website or sign up for
correct.
It as well.
They can sign up for the free newsletter about articles on healing and questions submitted to Jonah that are answered in the newsletter. And you can look at past newsletters also on my website.
Okay, now you cover lots of subjects, and I kind of like that, you know, but that's because you have this, you know, access to this ascended being, all right? So now I'm going to pick on you a little bit. We came off the break. We were talking about China and a Jonah prophecy from the days of Ronald Reagan. During the break, I obtained the date from you, and that was 1985. All about there might be nuclear, but it won't be a nuclear war. And it seems that there's going to be this competition for wealth. Now, anyone that pays any attention to the world of politics and in a current history knows that China right now is they're essentially going out. They're going to especially third world countries. They're buying mineral rights to totally untapped resources. I mean, if they deem that they believe there is copper in a given place, they buy the mineral rights despite the fact that it's never been mined. Copper hasn't been uncovered. And they're buying these rights for resources, the important resources throughout the world. They're buying them in third countries, or third world countries, I should say, as I said earlier, where there are no treaties, where we will do no dealing of that kind. And as they do that, they're essentially, you know, also lending us the money that we're continuing to spend, putting ourselves in deeper and deeper debt, perhaps even challenging the value of our dollar. How does this real world scenario, as we have it today, and correct any of it that I may have gotten wrong in your opinion, how does that fit with the prophecy of Jonah from 1985?
Well, in this prophecy, a lot of people were concerned there was going to be a nuclear war between Soviet Union and the United States. And Jonah said, no, there's not going to be, that they'll actually become as allies. And China, he referred to it as the land of the dragon, would become the greater threat. He also gave another prediction, I believe it was in 86, and that one we have on CD called Nuclear War, where he predicted the Iraqi war and the outcome that would be occurring from that. But in China, you know, a lot of people don't realize that China financed the Iraqi war. China bailed out the United States and Wall Street in our recent economic collapse here in this country. And as you were saying, absolutely right. China is going around the world buying these mineral rights, buying up the rights to oil, and within a couple of years, you know, countries are going to be starving for oil. That is their, that's how they're built. You know, societies are set up to live and to promote themselves on oil, and that just can't continue. But if it doesn't continue, if it stops all of a sudden, it's going to create massive economic collapse around the world. And Jonah has referred to a lot in regard to the elite pulling the strings. And, you know, you look at our country, in my opinion, you could call our country the United States of corporate America or United Europe of corporate Europe. The list can go on and on and on, but it's the corporations that are establishing the laws of different countries. But as you travel around different countries, you begin finding many of these laws are quite similar, becoming very restrictive in terms of personal rights, personal freedom. But then you have to ask, going back to China, did China do this out of the goodness of their own heart? I don't think so. So okay, then you have to ask, what do they want? Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. What do they want?
Well, they want domination and control. They want to be the superpower. That is in terms of the hierarchy of the Chinese government at this time. But you also have this element of the elite that utilizes many of the corporations around the world. And many people have lost their money. They lost their homes. But the money's not lost. The money was placed elsewhere, redistributed around the world.
I'm going to ask you to kind of clarify that for everybody, because Jonah refers to the shadow, quote unquote, and to the elite, and to the nature of the beast. So kind of, you know, give us a framework for those three usages so we know we have a context here, please.
Nature of the beast is a fascinating message that Jonah did a few months ago, and it's available on CD. And Jonah refers to this that we experience around us right now as the third dimension. Jonah teaches that there are a total of 12 dimensions on the earth, and that this is the third. He also teaches that the third dimension was never intended for humans to be here, that the third dimension is an evolutionary dimension for the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom. But during the, you can call it the fall of consciousness, there's a lot of different labels it could be, but beings lowered their consciousness and allowed their consciousness to exist and took on human form in the third dimension that does carry animalistic nature of survival. It answers a lot of questions, puts a lot of pieces together as to why humans are the way they are. But the elite, he has also spoken.
So before you get down to the elite, is the fact that we had this fall of consciousness, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this, the fact that we had this fall of consciousness, placing us in this third dimension world where we weren't really intended to be, that's the explanation for why there's so much greed, anger, lust, hurt, pain, and so forth in our world?
That's an explanation why humans carry this animalistic nature that Jonah refers to in terms of the greed. But the greed is based on the fear of survival. And, you know, a lot of psychologists will say, well, survival is a natural instinct. And that can be true to a degree, but I don't see it as a natural instinct of the soul. I see it as a natural instinct of the third-dimensional consciousness of wanting to survive. You know.
So then go on, the elite and the shadow.
Then you have the elite. You could put many different labels on them, but I think the word elite covers a lot of different areas. People that are in charge but behind the scenes. They're the ones that are pulling the strings in terms of economic collapse. A lot of people say, well, we were taken by surprise of the economic collapse. Well, Jonah predicted this several years ago, that this economic collapse would be occurring, and the purpose of it was to redistribute the money. It's exactly what's occurring. The stock market was at 14,000 when he made that prediction. The elite, I don't think you could call it a particular family. I think you would call it a particular consciousness, but also humans, individuals, that pull the strings globally in terms of what occurs globally. There are no accidents in terms of the economic collapse that we've just experienced in the United States is not an accident. You know, that was planned. You know, Jonah had already talked about it, predicted it. So you can't say, well, we weren't prepared for this and this and this. And going back to what you were saying earlier, in terms of spiritual healing, you have to be aware of the whole. That's part of taking responsibility for yourself. It's part of being proactive versus passive in your environment, in your life. And the more you know, the more you can become aware of your own power in what you can achieve and what you can heal and what you can accomplish in assisting others.
Okay, now tell us about the shadow.
The shadow, each human experience creates as an imprint. Some people might call it like a psychic imprint. You can take that on an individual level, and let's say an individual had a terrifying experience, had a very abusive childhood, or had some accident that was very traumatizing. That creates as a psychic imprint. It creates as a shadow. And people that can see energy can see usually this shadow around people. And it continues keeping a person in pain. It continues keeping a person separated from their own heart because they don't see it. They don't recognize it. They just know that every time they turn around, now this is happening, now this is happening, now I have this illness, now I have this pain. That's on a personal level. But that shadow exists on a cultural level. It exists on a global level. And it's a psychic imprint. It's a shadow of energy that keeps one passive. It keeps one in pain. And when people are in pain, they have more of a tendency to search for ones to come and take care of them.
And so now we have the ability to shape this shadow by our mood state, our attitude, or am I getting that right?
That's what Jonah's going to talk about in the Denver intensive. I'm not quite sure what he's going to or what depth he's going to go into. I know he's going to go in there.
All right. Now, before we get to some feel good stuff, because we've been talking about, you know, a state of affairs here. And sooner or later, we're going to get to what do we do as individuals about this state of affairs? Is there a spiritual requirement that would have us become involved? But before we get to that, Jonah's given many other warnings. He talks about ammonia and beef. Tell me about that.
He did. That was the last two intensives back in the United States of fast food restaurants putting ammonia in beef. And I've done a little research on that, and I found out that there are different hamburger chains that do that to prevent E. coli. So they have beef without E. coli, but now you have ammonia, but they're allowed to list it as an additive without saying what it is. Well, you know, how was that permission given for them to be able to list that? How is that affecting people? How are the foods that are poisoned in our culture keeping our consciousness in a suppressed, repressed state and allowing others to make choices for us?
We live in a world of chemical additives. We live in a world of electromagnetic smog, and they all impact upon us. So what other kinds of warnings has Jonah got, or has Jonah revealed, that we should all be aware of?
the first and foremost teaching of Jonah is you must become totally responsible for your life. It is at that point you're able to heal. And at that point of healing, you're able to assist other souls in their own healing. You can't see yourself as an island. You belong to the global community, but you don't have to be the global community. The teachings and the prophecies Jonah has given, there's so many of them over the years that many of them are occurring right now, including the Iraqi war. The Iraqi war is not going to be dying down. It's going to be building back up again. The China is going to be putting more pressure on the United States in terms of the economics. In one of the recent prophecies, Jonah said that the economy would begin and give the appearance of turning around this summer. But then again, other events are going to unfold to where there's going to be another great critical event occur that's going to affect the economics of the United States. It's good to be aware of all of this, not out of fear, not out of survival, but out of taking responsibility for your own life.
Sure. If you know there's a hurricane coming, you get yourself
you
in the cellar.
For it.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't have a cellar and you have a year or two's head start, you build a cellar, don't you?
Exactly.
But, you know. All right. Now I'm totally on this page with you, but I'm going to say now, our listening audience out there, there's a whole lot of angst attached to 2012. And on the other hand, there are all these people that are now talking about, 2012 is just a change in consciousness, and we just need to modify how people are looking at this because there's nothing horrible that's really going to happen. And we have all of this about the economic aspect of the world and the war and the wars in the world and the suffering in the world and people saying it's getting better and people saying that it's not. From your perspective, each of us feel good better today. As a result of you coming on this show, what should we do?
I do not believe 2012 is the end of the world. That's not my position.
I
do believe 2012 is an energetic shift that will be occurring. I believe it has to do also with the sunburst that is occurring, the electromagnetic energy field shifting. And I do believe that there's going to be a shift of consciousness, but it's not going to occur overnight.
Do you see this? That's where what I meant, Hoska, is do you see this, the economics and the electromagnetics, if you will, do you see this all converging?
I do. I do see it converging about that date, not at that particular day and hour, but in that general time of 2012. It's actually, I believe, December 21st or December 22nd, mm-hmm. 2012.
No, it's December 21st, uh-huh.
I do not see it occurring all of a sudden on that day. Humans have, for the most part, resist change. You know, you can look at someone that's in terrible pain and say, okay, you need to do this and this and this. How much resistance is there to create that change in order to heal the pain? In my experience over 30 years of working with people, people have a lot of resistance to change. But change will occur. And I do believe that change is going to occur for the better. I do believe that there's going to be a higher consciousness beginning to emerge by the people who are proactive, not the people who are passive. And I will say that the people who are passive are the ones that usually resist change the most. But those that are proactive, I think, are going to be the ones that are truly going to bring about this change by understanding what change is needed. You can't look just in your own community. You have to look globally as to what changes are needed because we live in a global environment.
Okay, now I have a friend of mine, a psychologist that also I guess we'll just say is also psychic. He's definitely gifted. This friend of mine explains it this way. He says, you know, with 2012 coming up and some of the changes in planetary alignment and da-da-da-da-da, we're getting some pressure, some, if you will, see it as pressure being placed upon consciousness. And when this pressure comes on, those people that aren't prepared, well, they're unable to handle this change. And as a result, we see abreactions of the kind that we think of as being disturbances, psychological disturbances. And those that are prepared, those are the people whose consciousness will actually shift. Am I understanding you to basically be validating that idea?
That's another way of seeing exactly what I said, yes.
Okay. All right.
Whether one is passive or one is proactive, yes.
Well, what then, in the bottom line, in the next 2 minutes, what then is our spiritual obligation with respect to the politics of the world, the point of this show, Hoska Harrison?
Change for the world begins with the self. That's an ancient statement. You have to make change in yourself to see what changes are needed in the world and to become proactive in those changes. If you allow yourself to become passive, someone or something, and something could be some energy, entity, whatever it might be, but someone or something is going to come and attempt to control your mind, your thoughts, your emotions. So it's very critical that everyone become proactive in their own healing, in awakening their own consciousness. Then they become aware of the changes that are needed to assist in the healing of this planet.
Okay. Hoska, give your website so everybody has it.
JonahLifeInstitute.com.
Spell that out, would you please, sir?
J-O-N-A-H, Life, L-I-F-E, Institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E, .com. It's all one word, JonahLifeInstitute.com.
Great.
We offer free newsletter that comes out between once and twice a month with articles on healing that I write, as well as questions submitted from you to Jonah that he answers in each newsletter as well.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us today, Hoska. It's been an interesting subject. You know, I was raised with the idea that you never talk about religion and you never talk about politics. two things that may engage the enemy, I guess. But it occurs to me that in this day and age, those are perhaps two of the most important things that we can talk about. Maybe not so much religion in terms of comparative theology, but definitely from a standpoint or perspective of our spiritual obligation to one another, whether it be those children in the streets of Santa Monica, those 12-year-olds, or it be the starving children in a foreign land, war-torn foreign land. But as Hoska said earlier, I'm going to suggest to everyone out there that we live in an era where responsibility goes beyond ourselves. It's time for us to begin to remember what neighbors are all about and take responsibility for our neighbor, our community, our country, and everything else. All right, well, we've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank you all for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed our show. At least I hope we provoked, agitated, or in some other way gave rise to your cogitation over this subject. Join us again next week, and until then, remember, believing in yourself always matters.